If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 5, would you? John chapter 5. That song can preach. Amen. I hope that your salvation is not just a fact to you. I hope you understand if you're here and you've never received that love, man, I tell you what, you're missing out in life, alright? You can't, it's amazing to see a man come up here and just tear up over the love that was shown to him. And my friend, he loves you too, alright? He went to the cross for every single person that ever walked on this earth. And that's what this conference is all about. Because when you experience that love, you actually get to see something you've never seen before. And that's this, God's heartbeat. Because He gave His Son for that reason. And that's why these missionaries go all across the world. You know what He asked from us? Watch this. Could you give me a little money so we can keep the gospel going forward? Now, doesn't that seem such like a little bit of our lives? When you put it all in the big picture, He says, hey, would you help us out? Pastor gets up and says, hey, we got a project here, we got a project there, we got missionaries that are in need, we got Bibles that need to go to China so that that people group can hear the truth and see it on the pages of Bibles. Hey, let me tell you, when you keep that perspective, Lord, what do you need? Lord, I'm here for you. Why? Because when you take your last breath on this earth, you know what you're going to know? How important it was to serve Him. You know, there's a misconception amongst Christians that there's no sorrow in heaven. But you know what I feel, Pastor? As I read my Bible, twice in the book of Revelation, the Bible says He's going to wipe the tears away. You ever wonder why? Where's the tears from? Well, one is right before the great white throne. I don't know what He's going to do to get us not to see it or not to spend the rest of our lives in sorrow. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I think the other is, we only got one chance to serve Him. It's while we're on this earth. In 1 John chapter 2, and this isn't my message, but in 1 John chapter 2, He talks about those that will be ashamed of His coming. If you know anything about the book of 1 John, it's all about Christians having fellowship with God. And I've often wondered, Pastor, are we going to be ashamed? Because we're going to look back and say, wow, why was I so selfish? Because only the things that are done for Christ will last. Would you stand with me out of respect of reading God's Word if you're physically able? John chapter 6 is where we're at. Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity. Church family, you've done a wonderful job of hosting this conference, and I know I could speak for Brother Robbie and myself. We were put up well and we were fed well and all those things. You just did a wonderful job. And thank you for your giving that you've given this week. It's just been tremendous. And I want to commend you on all those things that you did this week. But this morning, can we just spend the next few moments together feasting from God's Word? That's why you should come to church, by the way. So you can be fed, because you need it this week. The devil, the world, yourself, old sinful nature, they're going to deprive you of spiritual food. You come here to have food. Look what He says in verse 1. And after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd, a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. The Passover and a feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them might take a little. one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "But Jesus, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they amongst so many?" This morning I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, "But what are they amongst so many?" And this morning I want you to realize that God often uses unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results. But before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, thank you for being a great God. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for shedding your love to this preacher. Lord, I don't deserve it. Lord, I'm eternally grateful for it. And Father, can we see something this morning from the Word that you often use unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results? And Father, would you increase our faith this morning? In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. You may be seated. You know, as I read my Bible, I don't know about you, but I have an awesome spiritual imagination. Okay? I don't know if you read your Bible that way or you just read it as a textbook. I hope you don't. You don't get half of it, what you should, out of the Bible if you do that. But I look at some of these people in the Bible and I'm just flat out amazed. Jonah. Unusual person. A prophet of God that, watch, didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Now that's an unusual combination, isn't it? How about Noah? A guy that had never built a boat in his life. How about Balaam? A prophet that God used a donkey to speak to. I mean, you go through your Bible and you got to really say, Gideon? A guy that used pitchers, trumpets? How in the world are you going to be able to accomplish that? How about that guy named David, huh? The little shepherd boy goes to the army. All of a sudden he sees his brothers there. Israelites have been disdained, the word is used, for 40 days. And he says, "Hey, what are you guys doing? Why are you going to let that loud mouth babbling buffoon defy the living God of Israel?" And they're like, "Well, have you noticed his size? Have you noticed, like, he's a champion? Do you notice he's like a wrecking ball? He's never lost?" And David says, "But God is bigger. Is there not a cause?" And we know the story. He goes to the brook. He grabs 5 smooth stones. Puts one in the sling and round it. I won't sing the song, but you get the idea. And all of a sudden, a missile comes. Right between the eyes. Drops them. Amazing. God uses unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results. Now we come to John chapter 6. In the background, the Bible tells us that there Jesus was healing people like he always did, taking care of people's needs. And one day, as they were going across the sea, he noticed that there was a great company that followed them. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" You know, it's interesting, I find, when God
uses unusual people to, with unusual things to produce unusual results. The first fact that I notice that seems to be a trend is that Jesus sees their need. You know, I love what the Bible says. It makes it so profound. It says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes. You know, Pastor, I have found when I read my Bible that when Jesus lifts up his eyes, he sees things differently than when I lift up my eyes. You say, what are you talking about? Come with me a couple pages back to John chapter 4, would you? John chapter 4, we're given the woman at the well. You know the story. I don't have time to go through the whole entire story. But you know that Jesus goes to Samaria. I must needs go to Samaria, right? And there's that woman there, and he says to the woman, hey, could you draw me some water? She says, hey, wait a minute. You're not supposed to be talking to me, all right? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. That's not right. And he says, no, listen. If you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. And she went off and she said, I don't understand it. Yeah, I'd like to have that. You know the story. But all of a sudden, she sees that, you know what? This isn't just anybody. Why? Because this guy could tell me my whole entire life story. This must be the Messiah. Well, the disciples come back. She runs back, tells everybody in the city, hey, come here, I got to show you this guy. This guy's amazing. The disciples come to him and say, hey, Jesus, hey, we pray. Hey, you got to eat, man. You got to eat. Pick up the reading with me. Verse 31, chapter 4, verse 31. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, hey, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, here it is again, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And hearing that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I send you to reap that on whereon ye will bestow no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now watch. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, guess what? He saw something that they didn't see. He saw that the fields were white unto harvest. And what's awesome about our Savior, if you don't know this, is that when Jesus sees our need, because he lifts up his eyes, and he sees our need for salvation. Aren't you glad for that? He looked and said, hey, wait a minute. Every individual in this room this morning is a sinner. They can't do it on their own, though they've tried. And how many of us have tried and failed miserably? The law gives us this wonderful thought that it was given to us for one purpose, according to Romans chapter 3, verse number 20, that shows that we are sinners. And Jesus lifts up his eyes and he sees our need for salvation. I'm so thankful, though many people have lifted up their eyes and looked at Jake DeAndre and said, let me tell you, he's got all kinds of needs. But he's the only one that said, no, his greatest need is for him to be delivered from his sin. And when he talks about this passage in John chapter 4, here it is. He's saying, guys, listen. You got to lift up your eyes. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he said, look, the fields are already white. Now we know we're not maybe in a farm country, but for a farmer, this means what? It's time to reap. Okay? It's not time to sit back. It's not time to say, well, I guess we'll just wait another 6 months. No, no. You've got a window of opportunity to harvest. And if you get rained out, you could lose your crop. If you decide to hesitate or to just not do what you're supposed to do, you could lose out on the crop. And Jesus says, wait a minute. Lift up your eyes. He saw my need for salvation, but you know what's so great about my God? He not only sees my need for salvation, He sees my need for protection. And I'm thankful I serve a God who lifted up His eyes to see me. I've told this maybe to you, I know it's been a long time. April 12, 2010, we were finishing up a meeting in Hot Springs, Virginia. At that time I had a Suburban and a travel trailer. We were about the second year in evangelism. We were going on Interstate 64. We were taking the hike up the interstate, and from mile marker 37 to 41, so just about straight up. We were going up and over this mountain. Well, we finally got to the top of the mountain, mile marker 41. All of a sudden, a gust of wind came, picked up our trailer, and pushed it hard left. Well, when you're on a pull behind, the pivot point is your bumper. And so what happened is, when it pushed my trailer hard left, it pushed the rear end of my truck hard right. Well, I wasn't ready for it, Brother Ricky, and so all I did is I countered steer as quickly as I possibly could. But what that did is it whipped it back the other way. Next thing I knew, I was going down the mountain. The back end of the trailer was swaying like a dog's tail. The only thing I could think to do is lock them up. I locked up all the truck brakes, all the trailer brakes. Next thing I knew, my trailer had flipped over. I was facing westbound and eastbound lane, and the rear end of my truck was 4 foot off the ground. The trailer completely totaled. The truck, I drove it home. Not a scratch. I tell you what, sure I'm glad I have a Lord that lifted up His eyes and saw my need of protection. All the firemen, the EMT, I shut Interstate 64 down for 2.5 hours. They said this, I've never seen anyone come out alive in one of these things. Your trailer is absolutely, positively trashed. The only way that I survived was the ball, the hitch, that normally is in a vertical position, was under so much stress that God bent that 3/4 inch steel this way so the trailer could rotate and my truck could stay on its wheels. Aren't you glad you serve a God who sees your need? But He's not only a God of salvation. He sees our need of salvation because He lifted up His eyes. He lifted up His eyes and saw my need of protection, but He lifted up His eyes and saw many times my need of provision. Here in John chapter 6, I come to the place where we got 5,000 people. 5,000 men, and many scholars want to say there could have been up to 15,000 people, and guess what? They're hungry. Now, this is a huge problem. Why? If we were having a carry-in lunch this afternoon, and I said, hey, folks, we're going to have a carry-in lunch at Gilead Baptist Church. You're all invited. And this morning, for dinner, we are going to have 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Some of you are leaving already. Isn't it amazing? You say, why? Because we're Baptist. Okay? You almost have to be able to feed a small army from a country. All right? And we do good at it. But 5 loaves and 2 fishes are definitely not going to need it. But what I'm getting at this morning, when God uses unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results, my blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, sees their need. But notice, not only is that true, look at the second fact that's true. Keep reading with me in chapter 6, verse number 7. Philip answered him, Jesus, when he said, hey, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip's answer said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take, what's that word, class? Little. See, Jesus not only saw their need, but
what I find is their need is too great.
The people's need is too great. He looks out and he sees the congregation and he says, Philip, hey buddy, how much bread? Now, bread wasn't something of great expense. For Jewish people, it's a staple of their diet. Now here's the bad news, folks. It's unleavened bread, okay? Italian bread is so much better, okay? But to them, this is their staple of their diet. Unleavened bread is something. But Philip says, even though it's a staple of their diet, there are so many people, it would be 200 pennyworth. You know, in today's term, you know what that would be? That is a whole year's worth of salary to pay for these people. Now, Pastor, when it comes to missions, sometimes we can be just like Philip. The need is too great. You say, what are you talking about? Here's some stats. I want you to listen to this. There are 16,594 people groups. Okay? Now, do you understand what I say? What I talk about when I talk about people groups. Okay? These are groups of people. Now, that's real deep, I know. Okay? But this is Chinese people. Okay? Here, this is a people group. Okay? And so we got German people. There are 16,594 of them. Do you realize there are 6,734 people groups that have never been reached with the gospel? Did you get that number? Of the 16,594 people groups, there are 6,734 who have never once heard the gospel. Of the 7.3 billion people on the earth, right now there are 7.3 billion people, listen to this, 3.1 billion people have never been reached with the gospel. That's craziness. And truthfully, Pastor, I find myself just like Philip. But Jesus, there's no way we could ever feed these people. Brother Mollick, there's no way we can reach 3.1 billion people with the God. How in the world can we do that? The need is too great. And you know what? Humanly speaking, you're right. Humanly speaking, we look and say, just, it's impossible. But wait a minute. You forgot my proposition. God uses unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results. And we can say, we can justify, well, I'm not going to give this because what's it really worth? I mean, honestly, if I make $10 more in my faith promise, the need is so great. Brother Jake said it. I mean, there's so many millions of people that are not. They said there's 1,800 languages that have never had a Bible translated in their language. And we could go through all these stats about the unreached world of this planet. But the truth is, we can start rationalizing it with our human minds just like Philip and say, you know what? It's not even worth trying. Because the need is too great. And Philip is right there telling Jesus, listen, Jesus, how in the world is this ever going to happen? There's 5,000 men and women and children. How is this even going to happen? You would have to have 200 penny worth. a year's salary to pay for all the bread. Just so that, I love what the Bible says, because it gives us so much description. He says, just so that they could all have a little. But once again, God uses unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results. Look at the third fact that's true. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8. It says, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, Jesus speaking, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But I love what Andrew says. But what are they? How about so many? So we see Jesus sees their need. We see the second fact that their need is too great. But the third fact that's interesting, when God uses unusual people with unusual things to do unusual results, is that their effort is so small. I mean, Andrew, Peter's brother, says, hey, Jesus, hey, there's a little lad. Come here, buddy. You didn't know you were going to get picked on this morning, did you? There's a little lad here. And you know what? This guy, he's got a little lunch food. His mama made him. And it's 5, as we would say in the South, biscuits, all right? And 2 fishes. That's it. Now, if I were to say, hang on. If I were to say, now, here's what we're going to do. What's your name, bud?
Jay.
All right, Jay. Jay, I'm going to take your lunch. I'm going to take your lunch, and I'm going to feed everybody in this room. Now, your mama might have packed you a good lunch. You know what I'm saying? What's your favorite lunch?
Pizza.
Pizza. All right, there we go. There's a good American right there, all right? So, I'm going to have pizza. And so, Ma goes ahead and packs, a whole large pizza in your lunch pail. You know what I'm saying? That would be nice, huh? You'd be, yeah. And so, Mama packs him a whole large pizza in his lunch pail. And he came to church because it was going to be a long service. And hey, you're not supposed to shake your head then, all right? That's not how it works, all right? It's going to be my illustration. You got to go with me. So, he's like, yep, I'm going to go to church, and I got my large pizza in my lunch pail. And then all of a sudden, the preacher says, hey, can I have that lunch pail? And you're like, well, okay, I'll give it to you. And I said, here's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to feed all these people. Now, here's my question. Do you think we could feed all these people with one large pizza?
How long
is
this going to be?
Probably not, okay? Why? Because, at the most, maybe 8 slices, there's more than 8 people here, you know what I'm saying? But watch. There's 5,000 men in this room. Picture it. With their wives and all their children. Wow. Could you imagine? Humanly speaking, go ahead, sit down, my friend. Humanly speaking, there's not a chance. Their effort is so small. Because all it is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and we're going to feed 5,000 men plus all the women and all the children? Not a chance. And sometimes, Pastor, we get that mindset, but I can't do much. My effort is so small. All I can do is $5, or all I can do is, all I can do is this amount or that amount. Preacher, it's not that much. Well, whoa. You're falling in the realms of the disciples and what they seem to be plagued with, Brother Huff, so often, unbelief. Isn't it amazing how this unbelief kind of tags itself to our lives and we never even associate it? What stops us from believing that little effort of 5 loaves and 2 fishes could feed 5,000? Here it is. Unbelief. Why? Because if you read your Bible, here's what you're going to come up with. God often uses unusual people. A little lad. With unusual things. A little lunch. To produce unusual results. Feeding all you people? Yeah. And though the disciples seemed to be plagued with this sin of unbelief in their lives, Jesus allowed them to see the fourth fact, and that's His amazing power. Notice with me what happens. Would you pick up the reading? In verse number 10, Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. Aren't you glad that Jesus is willing to take what we give Him? And what does He do? Look what He says. "And when He has complained about what you gave Him." Is that what it says? "And when He rebukes you for what you gave Him." Is that what it says? No. This is why we serve such a great God. Because He doesn't force you to be a part of His miraculous ability. He allows you to be a part of it. And He says, "You know what? All I ask is that you give me what you can." And when He took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled... Wait a minute. Didn't Philip say, "Jesus, it would take 200 penny worth so that everybody here could just get a little"? What happened? God uses unusual people to do unusual things with unusual things to produce unusual results. What are you talking about? He took a last lunch that was just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Not only did He take the loaves, He broke it, He blessed it, but watch, they're filled. Look what it says. "He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered themselves together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when he had seen the miracle..." Who's those men? Disciples. Okay, His followers. "The miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.' When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force to make Him a king, He departed again into a mountain Himself alone." Now listen. You know what Jesus said? Hey. Jesus said, "I'm doing this for you guys." Why? Because I want you to see that God can use unusual people. Brother Jake, are you calling us unusual? Yeah. Why? The Bible calls you unusual. If you want to know the word in the Bible, it's called peculiar. With unusual things, you know what? God's asking you this morning, "Hey, could you help me out?" And you know what's sad? Some of us will be like the lad. Some of us will say, just like the disciples, "But what are they amongst so many?" Isn't it a rebuke to see the child's faith? It's never mentioned in the Bible with a proper name. But as an example to us of faith. And when we go through our Christian life, watch. God wants us to experience this for one reason. Here it is. Here it is. That we will know the God of the impossible. He's doing that for us. He's allowing us this opportunity today, tomorrow, the next day, and the rest of our lives to find this. Watch. The God who can do the impossible. Now let me tell you, nobody likes to be hungry. No one likes to suffer need. No one really likes to sacrifice. But you know, when we decide that, you know what? I'm going to do that. Oh boy. It's amazing what you and I get to see. Because we get to see God's amazing power in our lives. And the God of John 6, of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and the God of the blind man in John chapter 9, and the God that raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, is the same God that we serve today. And He wants to show you that He often uses unusual people with unusual things to produce unusual results. Would you bow with me?